and can hear me, I will continue and call the meeting of the government committee, MDC government, on Monday, December 7th at 4:30. And we do have a quorum. And I would ask first under number two on the agenda for public comments. I know we have Dave Silverstone, and I don't know if there are other public members. So, Mr. Silverstone, if you did have a comment, now is your time.
No comment, but thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. John, are there any other public members? I think not.
Yeah, I see that there. It's difficult for me to tell the identity of everybody, but if anyone else would like to speak, this is the moment for public comment.
Okay. All right, we'll move on to item three, which is approval of the minutes from the June 23rd meeting from this past year, and ask for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Can you give your name just for the record?
I think that was a late aye in favor of the minutes.
Any abstentions? Hearing none. All in favor, aye. We'll move on to number four. Okay, we're good. The only item we have to discuss and approve are the rates as outlined on the agenda to take potential action on revisions to ordinances. So with that, I would ask Scott or one of the other staff to make some presentation so we all are clear about what is contained therein.
Mr. Chairman, would you like a motion first so we can have this discussion under the motion?
Absolutely, Senator.
Thank you. I make a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
No, you don't want all in favor yet.
You're right. Pardon. I guess Scott would be up.
Right. Discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would defer to either John Myrtle or Chris Martin, probably John Myrtle. John, do you want to take this?
Sure, Scott. Thank you. This is John Myrtle. There's a series of proposed ordinance changes. Some of these are the typical yearly likely yearly ordinance changes because some of the water ordinances have rates contained within them. So as we said, as the district sets the budget for the upcoming year, these ordinances need to be updated. You'll see the water rate is reflected in W1A. The proposed rate change is from $3.97 to $4.05. The industrial rate was proposed to increase from $3.18 to $3.30. The next water ordinance change is the what's known as the non-member town capital improvement surcharge. And this varies by town. It's based on the CIP projects that have been completed in the town for the past 20 years. The text of the ordinance outlines how that surcharge is calculated. And like I said, they all vary by town, by meter size. So you can see the proposed changes on page 4-3. Then some of the subsequent changes on page 4-4 relates to metering of fire protection. We wanted to update that ordinance to allow for that. And then there's some changes regarding locations of meters. Ordinance W2H was kind of held as a placeholder. It was previously in existence, and then it was removed. Chris Levesque's on, I forget. It was maybe the 70s, maybe the 80s. Ordinance W5K is a new ordinance that will allow for directional boring of water services. And I would defer to an engineer of how to what exactly that means, but it's kind of as the title describes it. It's boring, kind of, I guess micro tunneling might not be the correct word, but it's tunneling to put a water service in place. W6F is modification of the fire protection charges. And then in the sewer, there's a couple more water ordinances. We're updating the vehicle ordinance to prohibit or make clearer the prohibition of snowmobiles or all-terrain vehicles on district property. W7G is an update to allow for people that violate ordinances to have fees that are established by the Water Bureau rather than the $2 that's currently listed. In the sewer ordinances, a newer change is we're adding a proposed total nitrogen limit. You'll see in ordinance S2E, it has a schedule of contaminants that are currently prohibited based on a certain limit, and nitrogen is being added to that. There's a comparable ordinance, a new proposed ordinance for, or I guess this isn't necessarily comparable, but pipe bursting, which again, I would allow an engineer to explain exactly what that is, but it's, I believe it's essentially kind of using an existing pipe. It's similar to lining, but it's slightly different. So we wanted to create a new ordinance to allow for that. And then S12D and S12L relate to kind of, again, housekeeping to clean up to address a meter on the sewer side, including a radio frequency transmitter. And S12L is making clear a customer service charge is per connection for the property. And then there's a general ordinance change that relates to, I just want to make sure I get this right, is a, I forget what section SG6 is, but I can look at that if anyone has a question on that.
John, if I may, GA6 is the general provision that requires all our bids to go out to by award through a certain process. This change includes G8G as an exception to that rule, where we award pursuant to the sole source or single source procurement authority, which has a whole series of requirements on the procurement office before that's allowed. So there's ample protections within that particular ordinance that we felt it wasn't necessary to include them in 6A. So that becomes an exception to G6A.
I guess that. Go ahead, John.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chairman. That's all the ordinances.
Okay. So at this point, Scott, if you want to comment further so that there's no misunderstandings along the way, or if you want to assign a staff member to continue with the elaboration.
I apologize. I don't know if there's any specific questions. John was referring to, there's a number of, as you can imagine, the typical way a sewer lateral from a house gets replaced is simply you dig it up and you replace it. And our ordinances allow for that. And those ordinances also, give the authority of our staff to actually inspect that and set the design criteria to inspect that installation. Because of the new technology that's coming out with pipe bursting and tunneling, in lining, In order for our inspectors to have the right under our ordinances to inspect that work, we need to allow it to be included in our ordinance for the homeowner to do the work. So that's really what those items outline and clarify. It just gives us the ability to train our staff and to allow a homeowner, if they decide to line their sewer instead of, you know, dig it up and replace it, they can do it, and we have the right to let them do it, and we have the authority our staff will be trained to inspect that that construction activity. So those are the issues that John was referring to on the technical side. I don't know if there's any other questions.
Well, we'll open it up to any commissioners on the committee first. And other commissioners not on the committee? There may
Mr. Chairman, the one other item that I just would like to note is the monitoring the nitrogen. As you know, nitrogen costs us lots of money, and we're actually starting to see a benefit on the other side where we're actually starting to get paid for nitrogen credits now. But because, as we talked about in the Water Bureau and at BPW, that the state of Connecticut has deferred the miscellaneous permits to all of the POTWs, which is the publicly owned treatment works facilities, wastewater treatment operators, they have deferred the permitting process to the MDC. We talked about that and set fees for that in the upcoming year. But the one thing the permit doesn't do is it doesn't identify and limit a nitrogen. And given the fact that we don't, you know, we wind up paying for nitrogen when it comes to our system, we've added Chris Levesque and his staff have added a design limit for total nitrogen per day. So that's what that is about. And I don't know if there was anything else that was a question.
Any other questions from commissioners?
I have one.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
It's Commissioner Mandyke. I just have one question.
I'm sorry, yes, please.
Thank you. On the ordinances, I see that, and I had this under one of my budget questions, and I'm sorry if it was answered, but if we could just explain this again so I understand this. Under the capital improvement projects, for outside of MDC's district, I see that there are different prices, obviously for the meters, but there's different prices between Farmington, Glastonbury, South Windsor, and Manchester. Can you just reiterate why we have different prices for each of the individual towns?
Yes. So this is Scott Jellison, Commissioner Mandyke. So the way that the capital improvements, as you know, on a water bill for a non-member town, the water bill is the same with a few exceptions. The non-member towns are not charged the clean water surcharge rate, but they are charged the non-member town customer service charge, which is exactly equal by statute to the member town rate. So they're basically paying, they're not paying the clean water surcharge, but they're paying basically two customer service charge. The regular customer service charge and a equal non-member town charge. On per our ordinances, any capital improvements. So as you can imagine, if you just pick Glastonbury as an example, you have approximately 6,000 customers. You got a total of just under 10,000 customers amongst the four non-member towns in total. But just using Glastonbury as an example, roughly 6,000 customers. There's, and I'm guessing, but there's probably, 20 some odd thousand taxpayers in. And so there's a small percentage of the people in the town that actually have water service from the MDC. So in the non-member towns, where there's very little, like in Farmington, there's 460 some odd customers out of the whole town of Farmington. The rest of the town either is on a well or they have water from Connecticut Water. through Avon. So the very small population, same thing holds true in the other towns. And so the ordinances require that that if we spend $1 million to improve a system in a non-member town, that town has to pay 100% of it. So there's no sharing like we do in the member towns, where if we spend $1 million on a water project, all of our towns and all of the customers, you know, the 100,000 customers, they share in the capital debt service on those projects. But in a non-member town, depending on what we do in that town, every town's different. So some towns we're doing a lot, some towns we're doing a little, and it all depends on how many customers in the town. So you're basically taking, quote, $1 million and dividing it amongst the number of customers in that town. So in Glastonbury, if we spend $1 million, you've got 6,000 customers to divide it amongst. And that's why when we talk about non-member towns, the logic is the more customers, the more you can spread the cost of those projects. Now, some projects are like in Glastonbury, some projects are bringing water to new customers, and that's a good thing because you add customer base. And then some projects are simply just upgrading the system. It doesn't add any customers. It's just a necessary improvement to the infrastructure. And so the number of people or customers in the town, the amount of money we spent in the town, and then the number of meters. So as you know, we have a list of meter sizes, you know, 5/8 right up to 12-inch. Not every town has, for example, I've got my list here, but just use Glastonbury. In Glastonbury, I'm just looking for a zero. There's no 6-inch meters in Glastonbury. So that means we wouldn't, when we calculate the rate for a meter, we're basing it on who has a meter and what size is it and how many are there. So it's just a matter of a function of the how much money we spent in the town, how many customers are there to pay for it. Now, every year after you approve this, every year we send a letter to the towns and we outline the new rate structure for the coming year. The biggest increase is really happening in Farmington because of all the work that we did at Kilkenny tanks and the fire protection improvements to the pressure zone in that general area.
Just one follow-up to that. So, Scott, sure. Your logic there, since we have the most out-of-district customers in Glastonbury, I would assume that those charges are the smallest. So this is what I don't understand. If we have 6,000 out of the 10,000 customers in Glastonbury, I would assume that if I had a 5/8 meter, that would be the lowest because that's our largest population that we have that's out of district. But then I look at South Windsor and that's smaller. So that's what I'm not understanding.
Can I chime in for a minute, Scott? This is Susan.
Yep.
So Glastonbury, over the last 20 years, we've done a number of projects in Glastonbury. And just recently, there was the upgrades to Buckingham Pump Station. There was about 6 years ago, the Nipsic Road water main. This year, we added about 900,000 with the projects we just completed. And those are just over the last, 8 years, those three projects right there. So Glastonbury has 6 pump stations in it. We have a lot of capital improvements we have to do and we've been doing in Glastonbury. So it's dependent on the projects that have been done over the past 20 years because we're paying off that principal and interest on all of those projects. It's not just the project we did this year. I don't know if that helps at all.
And if Commissioner, if you look at Glastonbury, the significant increases are really in Farmington, in terms of doubling the rates. Glastonbury, although there is an increase, but we've been talking about Glastonbury for a number of years, that there's significant, as Sue just mentioned, there's significant improvements necessary in the infrastructure itself. Never mind bringing water to new customers. The system in Glastonbury is built backwards. The system in Glastonbury was actually designed back in the 1900s, early 1900s, to feed, to feed East Hartford. And now we're feeding it the complete opposite direction. And there's really been very little improvements over the last, 50 years. And as Sue mentioned, a lot of these developments that have occurred because the towns and the residents did not want to pay for the improvements to the infrastructure, developers and building developments used pump stations, and pump stations wind up becoming a major maintenance headache in operations for the MDC. So there will be and needs to be significant improvements in Glastonbury over the next 10 years, as well as Farmington. But Farmington was the biggest one, and that was the $8 million project that we did for Kilkenny tanks, and UConn paid $3.6 million of that $8 million. So that $3.6 was not charged to the non-member towns.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that explanation.
No problem.
Other questions, commissioners? Well, I guess if there are no further questions, we can move to take a vote on approval. And
hello.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman.
Well, I'll tell you, the connection's not too good.
Yeah, Commissioner Hoffman, this is John Merle. You kind of either cut out or trailed off at the end there. We couldn't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. How's this? Better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That was, guess I put the volume down. But anyway, for the reminder. So we can move forward into taking the action necessary. And I'll ask for a roll call vote to approve as presented.
Okay, this is John Myrtle. Roll call vote, Commissioner DiBella.
Yes.
Commissioner Avedisian. Commissioner, you're muted.
Muted, I think, isn't he? John, you're muted.
Can't hear you, John.
Yeah, he's muted.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Avedisian.
Thank you.
Commissioner Buell.
Yes.
Commissioner Gardeau.
Yes.
Commissioner Hoffman.
Yes.
Commissioner Holloway.
Yes.
Commissioner Yono. Did Commissioner Yono join? Commissioner LeBeau.
Yes.
Commissioner Magnin. Commissioner Magnin, I muted you a little while ago, sorry.
Still muted.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Magnin. Commissioner Murata.
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you, John. At this point, the only thing we have to go to here is number five, and ask for general public comments. And I would expect to hear Mr. Silverstone by now, so I'm guessing he has no comment.
No comment, but thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, and the next item would be to ask for any commissioner comments. Hearing none.
Move to adjourn.
Excuse me, Commissioner Hoffman, but before we adjourn, I just would like to, just for my knowledge, Chairman DiBello was having some trouble with video. Were there any other commissioners that had trouble with their video getting into this
no,
first meeting?
Mine was audio and video. No, I'm all set.
Okay. Everyone's okay?
It keeps fading. It fades. I don't know if that was Commissioner Hoffman's transmission, but it's a...
Yeah, I think, Chairman, your video has shut off a few times. I think it might be a Wi-Fi issue on your end. So if you might want to reset your router, or you're good for most of the meeting, but you might want to shut down your computer and restart again. Maybe that'll help.
Well, what do we do now to get into the main meeting? We stay on the same.
Yeah, so everyone can leave this. If you want to mute and turn your video off momentarily, this is the same dial in and access for the full board meeting. So that'll start at 5:30, or you can exit and join back in at that time from the same link.
Okay.
All right, sorry.
Do you want to adjourn first?
We did.
Oh, he did. Okay. I didn't hear.